Of course, today is both, it's the Parshas Pinchas, and it's also the Shivosa B'Tamuz. The Rebbe would have a tradition that the Rebbe sort of reinstated, that between Mincha Ma'ariv on a fast day, the Rebbe would always have Mincha early during the daytime, Mincha Gedoyla, or at least earlier. But the Rebbe would have a tradition that he started off to speak what he called Divrei Kivushim. Divrei Kivushim means some serious words of which are appropriate for a fast day, because as the Navi says, Kiru levavchem ve'alu bigdechem, tear your hearts, not your garments, which means the purpose of a fast day is so that when we diminish a little bit of our physical and our corporal needs, we put them away in the side, we sort of can become a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more appreciative of our connection to Hashem. The purpose of a fast day is of teshuva. So the Divrei Kivushim come in the line with the idea of a fast day. So happens there's a piece I want to read, which is a piece that we all come across, I mean, quite regularly. And but the Rebbe puts it in words, you know, in words that we all know. And there was once a joke they made for Purim. They gave out a database. They were collecting for a database, and the database asked people to volunteer for things that they could perform. So he asked, you know, what could you daven? Could you daven? We're looking for a Baal Shachris. Can you daven Shachris? Can you daven Mincha or Maariv? Can you daven Musaf? Do you daven Sfard, Ashkenaz? You daven Yontif? You know, all kinds of various different. And everybody had to fill in. And there was one box where they fill in. They says, no, I don't know how to daven Shachris. I don't know Mincha. I don't do that. But I know how to criticize those. So you don't know how to do any of this stuff, but he can give a good critique, you know, somebody else who's doing. In this piece, you know, we learn, of course, about Pinchas. Pinchas took action, and it was in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a very daring to take a leader amongst Israel and go ahead and kill him in front of the whole community. And people were critical of Pinchas. As the Rashi brings down, Harisem ben Puti, did you see this fellow, his grandfather stuffed calves to the Olav HaDezoris, he's going and killing a leader of Israel. What they said was, his actions did not meet his intentions. He was just a mean, hostile kind of a fellow who was looking for an opportunity to get at someone, and he utilized, so to speak, the fact that the other one committed a sin, so he jumped to it. They criticized his motives. They criticized, and they said that Pinchas didn't do it. Everybody, Moshe was there, everybody else is here. Why would he jump to do something on his own? Don't think that he did it for good reasons. How many times has it happened in life? And this is where the Rebbe addresses it. We see someone does something positive, something good. It looks very good. We say, nah, you know what? He must have bad intention. He has probably ulterior motives. You know, something is and we're critical. We're very critical, even though the person may do something really beautiful, but we find fault. So here the Rebbe addressed like this. So I'll just read this piece over here from the Rebbe's Sicha in Likutei Sichos, Volume 8. The tribes appear to have convincing proof that Pinchas' motives were non-pure, as we learn from the Rashi. But they were mistaken. This teaches us a powerful lesson. Whenever we are tempted to find fault with another person's good deeds and questions their motives, one can never know another's true intentions. So long as a person is doing good, he should not be put down or mocked. Even if one has
a solid proof that the person is insincere. And in any case, even if it were true and the person indeed had ulterior motives, we are taught always to study Torah and perform mitzvahs, even for the wrong reason, since in this way one will eventually come to have pure motives.
So, in the first piece, the Rebbe writes very simply, A, you don't really know. Even when you think that you have proof, you don't really know. If the person is doing something positive, give him credit for what he's doing. Don't try to second guess and don't try to pin bad intentions. And even if he did have bad intentions, as Rebbe says, it still doesn't matter, because as long as But in the next piece, the Rebbe gives us even a more powerful explanation. And the Rebbe says, where does it come from? Why are we so inclined to find fault and criticize and be critical of somebody else? What is that based upon? Why don't we actually give the person credit? The Rebbe explains, amazingly, very pointed.
A deeper question here is, where does the desire come from to find fault in people who are doing something good? In our case, the tribes appear to have holy intentions. Those who were critical of Pinchas seemed like they had critical intentions. Guess what? Just a side note of mine, Korach also claimed that he was the honor of all the Jewish people. It wasn't about him. It wasn't him that he was. He wasn't offended. He was really taking up the case of spearheading against Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is taking all the honor for himself and his cronies over there, and his all kinds of faults with him. So, what was their point? Why did they know? They were concerned that Pinchas had slighted the honor of Moshe. Now, they care about Moshe. Why do they care about Moshe? Because by taking the law into his own hands, so now they're not concerned. They say, Pinchas, who gives you a right to stand up and do something when Moshe Rabbeinu is here? So now they're finding fault in what Pinchas is doing, because he shouldn't do so while he's standing over there. Similarly, a person may imagine that he has a low tolerance for other people's bad intention because he himself is humble, and thus he finds the pride of others distasteful. The other person who's doing good things is feeling good about what he's doing, and I'm such a humble person, so how could I tolerate the other one is having satisfaction from what he did? In truth, however, the reverse is likely to be the case. The fact that a person criticizes the good deeds of another is probably because the critic himself is proud and does not like the idea that somebody else accomplished something that he did not. Of course, he will not admit this, even to himself, because his pride makes him lazy, and recognizing that somebody else has accomplished something makes it more uncomfortable to remain lazy. Therefore, his arrogance leads him to put down the other person's good deeds, so they do not wound his pride or inspire him to be a better person, which would require effort. Rather continue to be lazy and finding fault in somebody else than accepting that the other one accomplished because he worked hard, and maybe start working hard yourself. Furthermore, even if somebody's mitzvah observance does have overtones of haughtiness, the critic's pride is nevertheless more distasteful. For ultimately, the person who showed off with his mitzvah, was at least honest about his pride and did not attempt to conceal it. The critic, however, cannot tolerate the truth that he too is proud, and he thus stoops to dishonesty, veiling his pride in a cloak of humility and righteous indignation. The lesson is obvious. It is much wiser to be an activist than a critic, for a little pride can make criticism destructive rather than constructive. But a good deed always remains good, regardless of the intention.